Pro-Life to the Max is produced and broadcast by WOMB 89.9 FM Catholic Radio in Bloomington, Indiana.
Ave Maria, welcome to Pro-Life to the Max, a weekly half-hour radio program under the patronage of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that is dedicated to keeping you informed on local, state, and national pro-life issues and efforts and inspiring you to get involved. I'm your host, Monica Siefker, and I'm so very grateful to be here with you today. Thanks for joining me. Well, this past Monday on Labor Day, we celebrated the second anniversary of this show, all by the grace of God. The very first Pro-Life to the Max program aired back in 2018 on September 7th. Hard to believe it's been 2 full years now that we've been producing and broadcasting these shows, all by the grace of God, as I said, and that because of your prayers. So we are very, very grateful to you, our listeners, for all of those prayers and for your support and encouragement over these past couple of years. I also want to thank my former co-host, Rhonda Branham, for the time she put in here on this project as well. Rhonda made the prayerful decision to cut back her activities and focus more on her home life with her husband and children. That's why you've only been hearing my voice now for the past several weeks. I'm sure you miss hearing her, as do I, but she's busy building up a culture of life right within her own family there at home. And incidentally, you can listen to all of our past shows by going to wombradio.com. Well, I'm excited to let you know that we have a special guest with us today. I know it's been a little while since I've had someone else on the show. Deacon Russ Woodard from Holy Trinity Parish will be joining me shortly to discuss the rapidly approaching Fall 2020 40 Days for Life campaign, which runs from Wednesday, September 23rd through Sunday, November 1st. And this is going to be one of the most important prayer and fasting campaigns ever, especially for us right here in Bloomington. In my discussion with Deacon Russ, we'll get into why this is so. But before I do get Deacon Russ on the phone with me, let's get to the latest news, and most importantly, let's begin in prayer. O Mary, bright dawn of the new world, Mother of the living, to you do we entrust the cause of life. Look down, O Mother, upon the vast numbers of babies not allowed to be born, of the poor whose lives are made difficult, of men and women who are victims of brutal violence, of the elderly and the sick killed by indifference or out of misguided mercy. Grant that all who believe in your Son may proclaim the gospel of life with honesty and love to the people of our time. Obtain for them the grace to accept that gospel as a gift ever new, the joy of celebrating it with gratitude throughout their lives, and the courage to bear witness to it resolutely in order to build together with all people of goodwill the civilization of truth and love to the praise and glory of God, the Creator and Lover of life. Amen. And let's go now to this week's In the News. The Catholic News Agency is reporting that a young Catholic Portland, Oregon medical professional was fired from her job at a Catholic medical group when she refused to prescribe hormonal contraception and make referrals for abortion. Megan Craft, a physician assistant, told CNA that following her difficult experience, she's hoping to spread the word about the need to hold Catholic institutions accountable for being pro-life and Catholic. Not only is the fact that the sanctity of human life being undermined in our Catholic healthcare systems unfortunate, the fact that it's being promoted and tolerated is unacceptable and frankly scandalous, Crafe said. Crafe went on to say that she was not surprised when she encountered the promotion of contraception, sterilization, abortion, and transgender services in her secular education, but she at least expected the Catholic medical group with whom she had hired on to honor her desire to be faithful to Catholic teachings and not violate her conscience. Crafe did end up settling matters with the medical center out of court with the help of Thomas More Law Society, allowing her the freedom to share her story and more easily help other Catholics who are trying to be a pro-life light in the current healthcare system. And according to the National Right to Life Committee, a record number of pro-life women are running for Congress in the upcoming November elections. In the important battle for the Senate majority, 6 pro-life women are running in Arizona, Georgia, Iowa, Mississippi, West Virginia, and Wyoming. And a record 55 women, the vast majority of whom are pro-life, have won House primaries this year. This continues the trend of strong pro-life women rising up to challenge the abortion industry's candidates candidates as abortion becomes more and more disagreeable to the American people. Hollywood actor Jim Caviezel brought up the violent nature of abortion during a recent interview he gave with a Christian podcast, Edify with Billy Hallowell. Caviezel, who played Jesus in the film The Passion of the Christ, was being interviewed for his new film, Infidel. During the discussion, Caviezel stated that he would still be against abortion even if he wasn't a Christian. "I've looked at the barbarism of abortion," he said. "I've seen one of them. There is no hiding anymore. Even if I don't really know who Jesus is, something in me, my own conscience, hits me. That's immoral. That's wrong. Why are we doing this?" Caviezel also spoke about how while society likes to claim that all men are created equal, it fails to recognize when they are created equal, which he stated happens at the moment of fertilization when a new, unique, never-to-be-made-again human being comes into existence. And finally, it appears that once again, no unborn children were killed this past week at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood. For the past month or so, abortions have been taking place there every other Thursday instead of every Thursday. It's speculated that Planned Parenthood of Indiana and Kentucky is having difficulty finding an abortionist who can commit to regularly coming to Bloomington to perform the deadly procedures. Foot traffic into the clinic has also markedly declined over the past several months, possibly due to the coronavirus scare. Please keep praying for an end to abortion and for the permanent closing of the Bloomington Planned Parenthood. And that's your weekly in the news. Well, one of the most important efforts, if not the most important effort, to help bring about the end of abortion, save lives and souls, and build up a culture of life has been 40 Days for Life. That's because it has two of the most powerful components to help bring an end to the grave evil of the killing of the unborn: prayer and fasting. Those who participate in these campaigns bring the light of Christ to a place of great darkness. And with all that combined, it's no wonder that good things are happening, because the darkness cannot overcome the light. Since the inception of these prayer campaigns, which began all the way back in 2007, over 17,000 unborn babies' lives have been saved from abortion throughout the world, and that's the ones we know of. 206 abortion workers have had a change of heart and left the business, and 107 abortion centers have closed where these campaigns have been conducted. Those are some impressive statistics. But in addition to this, 40 Days for Life is changing minds and hearts on the issue of abortion. In the cities and towns where 40 Days for Life is held, local community members get to see pro-lifers in action. They get to see with their own eyes how much pro-lifers do care, not only about the unborn, but about the moms and dads, families, the workers, and every human person created in the image and likeness of God. They get to see the peaceful and prayerful witness going on and the generous offers of help that are extended to those in need. It's also a chance for those involved to display their Christ-like demeanor when persecution does come along. How we love and pray for our enemies and do good to those who show hostility or treat us unfairly or poorly. Now, it's no small effort to organize these campaigns, to solicit and motivate volunteers and then keep it all going. But for the past few campaigns, Deacon Russ Woodard has been doing a fantastic job of accomplishing this task right here in Bloomington. And his efforts are not going without results. Here with me on the phone to talk about this fall's 2020 40 Days for Life campaign is Deacon Russ. Hi, Deacon Russ. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on, Monica.
Oh, you're very welcome. And I know every time our listeners hear your voice, they know 40 Days for Life must be coming around again, huh?
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
yeah. Right. Okay, so I know 40 Days for Life is near and dear to both of our hearts. So let's just start with the most basic question, just in case we've got any new listeners who've never heard of 40 Days for Life before. What exactly is this campaign about, and what are participants expected to do if they sign up for it?
40 Days for Life is a grassroots program. It started in College Station, Texas, as you said, and it's expanded. First, it expanded throughout the United States, and then it's gone international now. It's all about having a prayerful, peaceful vigil out in front of abortion clinics. Prayer and fasting is one of the pillars. The peaceful vigil is one of the pillars, and community outreach reaches the third pillar. And throughout many towns and cities in the United States and throughout the world, there will be campaigns going on at the same time for 40 days straight. This particular campaign starts September 23rd and runs through November 1st. And either for 12 hours or 24 hours a day, people will be outside these abortion clinics praying. It's exciting that in 588 cities and towns this fall. There will be campaigns. That's the most ever by far.
Wow, that is great to hear. So how many Bloomington campaigns have you led so far?
This is my third one to lead.
Okay.
I started last fall, and then we had the spring campaign, and now we're back to fall again.
So. Yeah, okay. And now you're in Edinburgh, so you don't live here in Bloomington. So what prompted you, nevertheless, to take this on?
It had to be inspiration from God, or either that or insanity. I'm not sure which.
We'll go with the inspiration from God.
That's right. It's something, you know, being pro-life is near and dear to my heart, and it's just that important, you know, when I just felt that God was calling me to do this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and also Bloomington, we see women come from abortions all around Indiana, right? So it's not just like a Bloomington problem. It's the whole surrounding area.
Right, yeah. All throughout the state, you'd be surprised. Even people come from way up north Indiana.
It's true, isn't it?
They come from Ohio. They come from Kentucky. Lots of people from Kentucky.
Yes.
Around the Evansville area. Illinois sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
We just get all kinds of people that come to Bloomington. So, yeah, it's not just a Bloomington issue.
Yeah, yeah. So this past spring campaign was cut short, wasn't it? There are a lot of things going on. So just tell us briefly what happened and what impact that had, if any, on the local efforts here.
Well, due to COVID-19, and we have to remember that 40 Days for Life is an international campaign now, and so many restrictions were being put on different areas, and it was just impossible with the frequency and the rapidity of the restrictions that were being put on. It was just impossible for the national leaders to just keep a handle on everything. So they decided, it was a hard decision, but they decided for the first time that they would suspend the actual prayerful vigil out in front of all the different abortion clinics, just because there were too many unknowns at that point, and many different countries and cities and towns had different regulations that just made it impossible for one size to fit all.
Mm-hmm.
So we suspended our vigil, unfortunately, although people kept praying at home and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know exactly what the results were. We do know that Planned Parenthood stayed open. They deemed themselves an essential business, and they kept doing abortions, unfortunately. But some of us, even during a short, brief suspension, we were back out there and praying and doing things like that. So it's important that we continue on with this campaign.
It absolutely is. And hopefully everybody is ready to get back out there and get going at it again in this fall campaign.
I really hope so.
Yeah. Okay, so can you tell us about some of the fruit we've been seeing there at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood as a result of these campaigns? And let me quickly add, too, we've been doing these 40 Days for Life campaigns, I think, since around 2008 or 2009, to varying degrees. But you know what? An effort has been put forward, even if poor at times, for many years now. So what is some of the fruit that we've seen?
Well, we have seen some saves. I don't know that we had a recorded one in spring, although the campaign was cut short, but I know last fall we had two saves, two
mm-hmm.
mothers who changed their mind and said they were going to keep their babies, and that's the ones that we know of, as you said. We don't always know. Sometimes a person may drive by.
Right.
They may see somebody praying, and they may decide, well, that's a sign from God. I am not supposed to do this. We hear that quite often. From other vigil locations, we hear of mothers showing up a year or 2 years later, or even as many as 7 or 8 years later, and saying, you know, you all were out here when I came to have my abortion, and I just couldn't do it, and I want you to meet my son or my daughter. And so
that is so amazing.
You know there's fruit.
Yeah.
We have noticed recently that activity at the Planned Parenthood is down, appointments and things like that. Now, they're still doing probably an average of 17 abortions every week, according to the reports that they have to file. We see that many or more women come in on abortion day on Thursdays. So we do know that they're continuing to do abortion. Planned Parenthood has said that they are in the business of doing abortions. That's their moneymaker. So anything we can do to make it a little harder for them to make money, you know, if one woman decides against having an abortion, that's maybe another $800 that Planned Parenthood doesn't have in their coffers. Mm-hmm. So the more we can change women's minds, the more likely that we will affect the bottom line at Planned Parenthood.
Yeah, and even just...
And like any business, they have to make money.
Yeah, and even just one life saved, how can we even put, you know, a dollar value on that, right? Even?
Right,
I mean, that's
exactly.
Incredible. It would be all worth it if just one life is saved. Yeah. So let's get down to the nitty-gritty about participation in the fall 2020 campaign here in Bloomington. So why is it necessary to actually go to the Bloomington Planned Parenthood to pray?
Well, because our presence there is important. We are reminded that the abortion clinic is at the foot of the cross. And so we need to be standing there at the foot of the cross, just like our Blessed Mother and the Apostle John were. It's important because we know from abortion workers that have left the industry that the no-show rate for abortion appointments goes as high as 75%.
Wow.
When people are out front praying. That's just an incredible statistic.
That is.
And so, again, we don't know for sure how many are turning away, but if we are out there peacefully praying, then we know that those prayers are going to have some kind of effect.
Yeah. So do participants need to carry a sign, would you say?
They don't have to carry a sign. We have signs that are available that they can carry if they want. We're on a busy street. College Avenue is a busy street. And I tell you, even when we're out there just praying, people know why we're there.
Yes, yeah.
But if people want to hold a 40 Days for Life, pray for an end to abortion sign, they're more than welcome to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes you more noticed all the more. So.
Yeah, and so where would people walk? Where are there boundaries there?
Okay, so we have to stay on the public right of way. So on College Avenue, the public right of way is either the sidewalk or the space between the street and the sidewalk. Now, we can't block the sidewalk, but we're allowed to walk up and down the sidewalk. And also, on the south end of the Planned Parenthood parking lot, there is an alleyway there. And you'll notice two yellow lines running. And so as long as we stay between those two yellow lines on the alleyway there, we're fine there, too. But we cannot get on private property. So we have basically in front of Planned Parenthood and on the south end of Planned Parenthood, it's pretty well marked where we can be. And if not, you can always ask, you know, someone for specific locations on that.
Yeah, good, good. Because there will, yeah, and if you have any questions, I know that they can contact you and you can be
right.
There the first time with them even too and to point these things out and show them what to do and where to go and everything. So
right. We have many veterans who are more than happy to meet somebody out there on the first time they're there and show them what can be done and what can't be done and where they can find a sign or whatever.
Okay, very good. And what about parking?
Parking, there are some spots available on College Avenue at the parking meters. Parking is $1 per hour, and parking is effect Monday through Saturday. And so we need to make sure that we obey the local laws. So that's where we recommend that people park. So bring some quarters or whatever, and you can feed the meter there. And there's usually plenty of spots either in front of the Planned Parenthood or further north along College Avenue.
Okay, good. And then also just any COVID guidelines that we need to be aware of. I know you're not from Monroe County, but I think you still know them because you're outside of Planned Parenthood. So what are there any?
That's right. We don't necessarily have to wear a mask outside, but if you feel safer wearing a mask, by all means, we want to keep our social distance, so keep 6 to 10 feet away from other people. And If you feel at all sick, we recommend that you do not come out. Just, you know, you can email me or call me and let me know, hey, I'm not going to make my shift, and we'll try to get somebody out there. We try to schedule two people out there at all times. So if someone for some reason cannot make it out there, there should always be at least one person, but we'd like to have always two people there if possible. So sometimes if we know someone's not going to make it, maybe the person that's there before them can stay a little extra, and maybe the next person can come a little early or something like that. So,
yeah.
Just, you know, maintain social distancing is the main thing.
Okay, all right. And what about just, are there any prayer books available? And do you have any prayer ideas for somebody that wants to go there and pray an hour but doesn't quite know what to do?
Yeah, we do have prayer books. We keep those in a location nearby, and we'll let people know if they want to sign up for the vigil. We'll leave notes, you know, on that and in the emails that we send out where all those are available. We do have prayer books available, but you know, you can always bring your Bible too. There's plenty of God's Word in the Bible,
there sure
so you can
is.
Read that.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes people are afraid, you know, how can I pray for an hour? Well, mm-hmm. you get out there and you find that the time goes very quickly.
It goes quickly, doesn't it? Yes, it does.
Just like when you're in Eucharistic adoration, the time goes much too quickly. So just, you know, envision yourself there at the foot of the cross and know that even though Mary and John could do nothing at the foot of the cross other than be present and pray, that's what we can do at the abortion clinic.
You know, you said something.
Our prayers will be efficacious.
Yeah, you said something so very critical right there, because a lot of times we don't see any fruit. It does seem like nothing is going on, but we have to have the faith of the Blessed Mother, don't we?
That's right. That's right. Yep. Even when we don't understand, we know that one day it'll all become clear to us.
Yes, indeed. Okay, so the other component then, besides being physically present and praying, is fasting. So any ideas on how we can fulfill that other pillar of this campaign?
Well, it's going to work differently for different people. You know, for healthy people, there's no reason why they can't, you know, do traditional fasting, either taking a couple small meals during the day and just one larger meal, or the thing that I've started doing lately is I will just fast for 22 or 23 hours out of a day and just have one meal.
Okay.
And that is very efficacious as well. Mm-hmm. But, you know, some people are diabetic. They can't skip meals. So they can give something else up, give up their second cup of morning coffee, or maybe, you know, sometimes during Lent, to give up candy or chocolate or something like that. So there's plenty of things to do. I've heard of people giving up their pillows during the 40 days.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard of people giving up warm showers over the 40 mm-hmm. days, just taking cold showers.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the important thing is no matter what we do, that we do it for the love of God and
yes.
for the love of these children.
Yes.
And the love of, you know, the mothers, too, because the mothers mm-hmm. often feel like they're trapped, like an animal that has their leg caught in a trap. That's how they want an abortion. They want to deal with it that way,
mm-hmm.
As Father Frank Pavone says. So
yes.
we need to really reach out and pray for these mothers and the babies and do what we can to help them.
Yeah, and I like how you said, just let love be our driving force there. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, so really this fall campaign is like another Lent. It's like a Lenten fall, isn't it?
That's
in
right.
In a lot of ways,
that's
yeah.
That's right. And, you know, how appropriate that the whole month of October falls within the 40 days. So Respect
yeah.
Life Month.
Yes.
It's a great time to come out and stand up for life.
Yeah. Yeah. And I understand there will be an overnight men's vigil again from Thursday night into Friday morning.
That's right. That's an important part of it.
Okay.
I guess women are welcome too, but
sure.
we have a lot of men that come out overnight and take an hour or two overnight from 8 p.m. on Thursday till 8 a.m. on Friday. So that's always good.
It is. The men sacrificing their sleep, that brings a lot of graces down, doesn't it?
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what? Time's getting away from us quickly here. And so I do want to mention, too, we're talking about a lot of things. Where can someone go to sign up and to find all this information we're talking about? Where is that?
They want to go to www.40daysforlife, that's 40daysforlife.com/Bloomington. And that'll take them, and they can sign up right there. Mm-hmm. And we'd love to have them come out, and they'll get more information, and they'll know what special things we have planned and things like that. So please go to that website and join us.
Okay, good. Yeah. Final words on why we should get involved and why this is probably one of the most important campaigns ever. What would you say?
Well, I think the momentum's in our favor. We need to keep the pressure on. We never know how many lives will be saved, but we know that our prayers will be efficacious if we're out there praying. So I encourage people to get involved, come out and pray. And when your day comes for judgment, hopefully you'll see some fruits of your labor when you get to heaven.
Yeah. And you've already been participating in the past. Maybe we can up it a couple notches, huh? And if we've never get involved now, because we
That's
know
right.
these
if
times
you've
are
never
crucial.
Been involved, right. Come on out. If you have been involved, bring a friend.
There,
you know,
yeah.
If every person that came out brought a friend, that would double our numbers, and just think how that would look.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Absolutely. Well, Deacon Russ Woodard from Holy Trinity Parish in Edinburgh, thank you so much for once again coordinating the Bloomington campaign for 40 Days for Life, which, as I said, is no small task. And I know this project is not nearly all that you do. You've got a lot of other responsibilities and duties as well. So we just thank you for everything that you're doing to help save lives and souls for the greater glory of God and for the building up of a culture of life and love right here in our own archdiocese. So may God bless all of your endeavors, and especially this coming 40 Days for Life campaign.
Thank you, Monica. I hope to see all our listeners out on the sidewalk.
Yeah, good. Well, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 says, "If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land." And boy, do we need to take this passage to heart during our tumultuous times. 40 Days for Life is a great way to answer this call to repentance and crying out for God's mercy. We hope to see you on the sidewalks there at 421 South College Avenue from September 23rd through November 1st. And again, the website for all of this is www.40daysforlife.com/Bloomington. Thanks so much for joining me. Until next time, let us heed the warning of St. Maximilian that the most deadly poison of our time is indifference. Let's pray for one another that we may be consumed with the desire to save lives and souls, to give the greatest possible honor and glory to God. Ave Maria.
Thank you for listening to Pro-Life to the Max, a production of WOMB Catholic Radio. To learn more about this program and how you can help us to continue to produce and broadcast this content, visit us online at WOMBradio.com.